ways whereby we can know by the time that we leave here how to experience freedom this Easter. You say, I don't need freedom. We all need freedom. Okay? We all need freedom. Freedom from what? Do you know that today we celebrate the focal point of history? The greatest event that ever happened. Why is it so great? It is great. It literally split AD and BC. Do you realize that every time that you write a check, every time that you write down a date, you are referring to Jesus Christ? We talk about AD and BC 2022 years ago from what? From the resurrection of Jesus. People recognize that even if they don't recognize it, because they're celebrating something that split history in half. Why is it such a big deal? Do you realize that over this 24-hour period, a billion people will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus? Why? Because it proved who Jesus was. Jesus said some crazy, outlandish, outrageous statements when he was here on earth. He said things like, I'm God. Try that at work. He said, I'm the Savior of the world. He said, I'm the Messiah. I'm God come to earth in human form so that you can get to know what God the Father looks like. He said, I'm going to prove it. Go ahead and kill me, because you're going to. You're going to kill me, and I'm going to be put into a tomb, into a grave, but in 3 days I will be raised from death to life. Know anybody else that's done that? And he did it. The real issue this morning is, what difference does it make to us in 2022? Today, in Myerstown, Pennsylvania, 2022, so what? How does Jesus being raised from the dead impact my life? What does that do for me today? And that's a fair question. Here's what Colossians 1:14 says. It's a verse found in the Bible if you're new to the Bible. Christ bought our freedom with his blood. This morning, I want you to experience freedom this Easter. But freedom from what? What can Jesus set us free from? You have an outline in your bulletin. I've already filled it all out for you because I want you to pay close attention. And I want to be brief. He said, I've never met a pastor who's brief. I'm going to try. I'm going to make an attempt to be brief this morning. Okay? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to 4 things that Jesus wants to set you free from this Easter. All of us. 1, Jesus can set me free from the guilt over my past. Anybody ever feel guilty? Come on. Anybody? I do. All the time. Because I do stupid things. And I feel bad about them after I do them. Guilt is the number one destroyer of happiness. It's the number one source of stress. It can cause physical illness. The psalmist says it can rot your bones. It's the number one cause of depression. All of us feel guilty at some point in our lives. We all have regrets, and I know that's true because none of us are perfect. You're not, and neither am I. We've all said things we wish we wouldn't have said. Anybody? Anybody wish, you know, you wouldn't have said something? Doggone it, I did it again. I said it. I got such a big mouth. We've all done things that we wish we wouldn't have done. Anybody? We're all there, right? Here's the good news. Jesus, on Easter, took care of all of that. He chose to wipe your slate clean. That's what he did. He wants to give you a second chance. He wants to let you start over. What Jesus did on the cross means you can live a guilt-free life. And that's pretty good news on this Easter Sunday morning. Ephesians says it this way, by the death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. At the cross, Jesus took care of all of your sin. All of sin, in fact, past, present, and future, even the ones that you have not yet even committed, he took care of that at that very moment on the cross. We celebrated that on Good Friday. God wants to set you free this morning from the guilt of your sin, from feeling guilty, even if there were no such thing as heaven, and there is. It would be worth becoming a follower of Christ just to have a clear conscience. Colossians says it this way, he has canceled every... Don't you love all-inclusive words? He said, you don't know me. I've done some really crazy bad stuff. Well, covered. He cared for it. That's what it says. He canceled every record of the debt that we owed. Jesus has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. He took your sin. And if you think that it was a crown or a spear or nails that killed him, it wasn't. What killed Jesus was in that one split second of time, his Father turned his back on the one and only Son whom he loved. And he dumped the weight of sin, all sin, past, present, and future, on the Lord Jesus, and it suffocated him to death. Sin, it can make us guilty, right? And it's heavy. You've experienced this, right? Can you imagine all of the sin of the world, past, present, and future, dumped on your shoulders? What God has forgiven, I can forget. You can forget it. I don't have to keep beating myself to death over the things that I regret about my past. Rehearsing this memory of the past that brings on guilty feelings. Just let go of that. I can quit nailing myself to the cross over the things I feel bad about because Jesus was nailed to a cross on my behalf. And that's good news. How many of you, come on now, when you were a kid, you purchased or your parents purchased for you one of these things that was called an Etch-a-Sketch? Anybody ever had an Etch-a-Sketch? You know what I'm talking about? Okay? You know, wouldn't it be great? This is kind of like the Etch-a-Sketch verse in the Bible, by the way. This is God saying, I'm just going to turn you upside down, shake you up a little bit and everything else, and you get a clean, fresh slate. And that's good news on this Easter Sunday morning. There's no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Jesus. I want you to know that no matter where you've come from, God is more concerned about where you're going than where you have been. And you belong here. And God brought you here for a reason, and I hope that you'll make this a part of your family. We need you. We need one another. Mostly we need Jesus. Regardless of who you are and regardless of what you've done, you matter to God, and He loves you, and He wants to forgive you and set you free from the guilt of your past. Number two, Jesus can set you free from worrying about your future. So we worry about the past and we worry about the future. We feel guilty about the past. We worry about the future. America is filled with worriers. We are a nation of worriers. We worry about everything. We worry about our bills, about our problems, about our health, about our careers. In fact, in America, we worry about our worries. We like to worry. And one of the things that bothers me every time I turn on the news, whether I'm turning it on and I'm scrolling through the internet feed or I'm listening to the news, which I rarely do, but every time I do, it's they're telling me about another food that I like to eat that I'm not supposed to eat because it makes me unhealthy. My doctor recently told me I had to give up red meat, and so I obeyed him, and I quit putting ketchup on my burger. I mean, you can't breathe because the air is bad. You can't drink because the water is bad for you. I mean, that's the world in which we live. I want to be a transparent pastor. Okay? I worry. I worry about what you think of me. I shouldn't, but I do. Are you going to like my outfit? Are you going to judge me because I'm not wearing a tie? Because I actually have orange Sperry topsiders on and not dress shoes? Are you going to, I worry about whether you're going to receive my message, if it's going to be good enough. Did I perform? And at the end of the day, you know what? I don't perform when I preach. I'm really preaching to an audience of one. As I studied His Word, I'm proclaiming His Word, and I don't need to worry, but I do. Do you worry about stuff? You might not recognize it, but deep inside you, God put this drive in you. We're going to get to purpose in a minute, but God put this drive in you, and He doesn't want us to worry about our past. He doesn't want us to worry about our future. He wants us just to be tied up into recognizing who He is. And He wants us to free us from worrying about what we have no control over in the first place. The greatest, most common worry that we all have, and we've all played this, we play it all the time, is the what if game. You can fill in the blank. That's a worry game. What if? But what if? I don't play that game anymore because it doesn't help. I can't control the future. We worry about our future. It's amazing what people will try and buy to find out about their future. They invest big time money in tea leaves and palm readings and fortune cookies and psychic lines. Say, why are they out there? Because people are paying for it. People are worrying about the future. Would you like to be worry-free? Would you like to be free from all worry? 1 Peter says it this way, God's Spirit has been at work in your heart through Jesus Christ. May God grant you increasing freedom from anxiety and fear. And those are the two things we worry about, right? Anxiety and fear. The Bible says, don't panic. Pray. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So when you start to worry this week, just turn that worry into prayer. If you've got time to worry, you've got time to pray. And worry accomplishes nothing ever. You can worry until Jesus comes back. You can worry until whatever date you want to put on the calendar, but you will not accomplish anything by worrying. Worry is useless. Worry can't change your past. Worry can't control the future. All worry does is mess up today. It makes us waste the day, and it messes up our lives. What's the secret, then, of worry-free living? Philippians, some of you know this verse. It's just a quoted verse all the time. Even if you're not a church person, you've probably heard this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me give you another translation of it. I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. I'm ready for anything. Bring it on. I'm not worried about that. Paul is facing temptation. He's going to get persecuted. And he says, hey, bring it on. Persecute me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How do you hurt a guy like that? It's just a change in perspective. He's not worrying about what might happen to me. It's us saying, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I know You've got all things in Your hands. And so I'm trusting them and trusting them to You. I'm not going to worry about my future. I'm going to give it to You. And I want you to know that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead 2,022 years ago The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power available to help you rise above your problems. So I can be set from my worry over my future, as well as set free from the guilt from my past. Number three, Jesus can set me free from living without purpose in my life. Purpose matters, doesn't it? We're all looking for the purpose of life, for my purpose. Deep inside, God put this desire for me, for you to have this purpose that we just talked about a little bit. Inside of you, you have this desire to know what's really important and what really matters in your life. It comes out in questions like this. What am I here on earth for? What on earth am I here for? What am I supposed to do? What's my life calling? Is there a purpose to my life? Does my life count? Does my life matter? However you say that. Am I here just to take up space, to breathe resources and die? Is that the grand purpose of life? Is there more to life than just getting up in the morning, having a cup of coffee, going to work, coming home, watching TV, whatever series you're into, going to bed, getting up in the morning, having a cup of coffee, going to work, coming home, watching TV, going to bed, relaxing on the weekends, retirement, and die? Is that all that life is? Is there more? And Scripture tells us there is more. There's more for your life than that. Until we know what the purpose of life is, we'll look for anything to give our lives meaning and purpose. Some people look for meaning and purpose. They want their life to count, and they look for that by pleasure. And so I'm a pleasure seeker, right? Every weekend, it's the great escape into finding meaning in life. And so they're exploring the mountains, or they're doing whatever it is that they do, whether it's travel, sports, or baseball, or bungee jumping, or jumping off a cliff, or whatever, to give that thrill. And that's it for them, right? If I just get that pleasure, then I'm going to be happy. And it never arrives. Some people try the prestige and power route. It's not about pleasure, it's about prestige and power. And they give their life to find meaning to this, and they go through life and they never find it. Sure, they get fame or status, or they get the position, they get the title at work. They drive a certain car, which says in their minds to everybody else, "Watch me, I can afford this, I'm somebody." But in the end of the day, it's just stuff. Some people try to find meaning through the acquisition of possessions. They live by the philosophy of the one with the most toys wins. There's a great shirt out there now. It says this: the one who dies with the most toys still dies. A lot of people are fed up with life, right? Success ultimately does not satisfy. What you need in your life is not success. What you need is significance. You need to feel that your life matters, not because of who you are, but whose you are. That you can be a child of the Most High God. That you are an ambassador. You can all go home. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're recognizing Jesus as your Savior, you can go and print up your new business cards. Dan O'Dean's Ambassador of the Most High. Because that's who you are in Christ. That's good news. You're not an accident. I don't care what circumstance you were born in. You say, "You don't know my circumstance, you know. My parents gave me up for it." It doesn't matter. God made you on purpose, for a purpose. The Bible says it this way, that God planned you even before you were born. We are God's work of art. Some of your texts say masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to live the good life as He meant for us to live. Our life is to be demonstrated. Aren't you glad that God demonstrated His love to us rather than dictated it? He demonstrated His love to us. He gave it. He showed us love. Ultimately, who would die that horrible death but the Son of the living God who loves you? For God so loved the world, and you are the world. He uniquely designed you and created you. You're a work of art. And the tragedy is that so many people go through all of life never discovering what their personal life mission statement is. That's what this church is here for. That's what New Beginnings exists for. We as a church are committed to watching people succeed in every area of their life. That could be physical, spiritual, mental, social, financial. We want to see your life matter. We take an offering because we want your money. No. We take an offering because it's an act of worship. It's us recognizing that God has provided so much for me, and therefore I want to return to Him and to be faithful to Him what He has been faithful to me. It's a demonstration following after what He did. He gave His all for us. We can give something back to Him, right? We're not taking it off. By the way, we give it to God. And God increases it and He blows us away. The impact of this church around the world is fabulous. And so every dollar that you give, it's going out to the mission of Jesus. And you're making a significant impact in your world. Next Sunday, I think we're going to be taking an offering to help refugees in the Ukraine. Why? Because we want to be like Jesus. Acts 20 says it this way, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. He's saying in this verse, if I don't fulfill my purpose, I'm not living, I'm just existing. You know how many people just kind of walk through life and then die? And they never really live? Last thing, Jesus can set me free from having to earn my way to heaven. Colossians again says it this way, Christ has set you free from following the world's idea of how to be saved by doing good and obeying various rules. That's what the world says will get you into heaven, will allow you to have a relationship with God or with Jesus. The truth is, if I were to go out on the street in Myerstown or in my town or wherever in the world, and I was to ask somebody, are you going to heaven? 99% of the people would say, I hope so. And then I would probably follow up that question to, well, what are you basing that hope on? And they would probably say, well, I try to be a good person. Can we play Family Feud? Wrong answer. You can't be good enough because you aren't good enough. I'm going to give you a summary, a whole summary of the entire Bible in just a couple sentences. Ready? I mean, it's pretty simple. Here's what the Bible says about your future. And I would suggest, by the way, that you pay attention to it, the Bible, not even me, certainly not the news. God knows us more than we know ourselves. He created us. He's the creator of the world and the savior of the world. And this is what God, through the pages of Scripture, says to us. It's His message to you this morning. One, heaven is a perfect place. Perfect is perfect. None of us are, by the way. All of us have sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Heaven is a perfect place. Absolutely perfect. There's no sin in heaven. There's no crime in heaven. No bad motives. No ulterior motives. There's no disease. There's no mistakes. Heaven is a perfect place. Scripture is clear. Number two, you have to be perfect to go there. And you go, that stinks. Guess I'm not going. Right. You're not going based on that. Because you're not good enough, and there's only perfect in heaven. And you're not perfect. So God planned another way. God had to plan another way, and that's what we're celebrating this whole weekend. That God, who loved the world and wanted to have such a relationship with you, would send his one and only son to die a horrible death, buried, rose from the dead, so that we could have life, so that we could have the gift of eternal life, so that we could have heaven. The Bible says there's only two ways to heaven. One, be perfect, which, by the way, none of us are. We all know that, right? Anybody here perfect? And if your hand's up, I don't know what to do, because you're not. I know I'm not. I'm not perfect any day, let alone all my life. You say, well, I'm pretty good. You getting into heaven on your own merits is kind of the same as the likelihood of somebody getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. The standard would be that you, every time, from the time that you first put a bat in your hand, every single time you got up to the plate, you batted 1,000, meaning you hit the ball into play without getting an out ever. And when you were in the field, you never had an error. The likelihood of that happening is zero. Nobody, the best anybody does is like 333. Okay? You get into the Hall of Fame with a 333. Jesus is saying, nobody's going to get into heaven because we're all flawed. We're all sinners. We all mess up. Jesus came in human form to this earth and showed us what it's like to live a perfect life. Jesus, fully God and fully man at the same time, lived a sinless life. He was perfect. And he made a plan for us to get to heaven on his ticket rather than ours, because our ticket would fail. It won't scan. It won't get you in. You don't earn the right to heaven. It's a free gift. If a person can earn it by being good, then it wouldn't be free. You don't get to heaven by keeping rules. You don't get to heaven, by the way, glad you're here, but you don't get to heaven by coming to church. Glad you're here. But that doesn't get you to heaven. So, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. Well, we're going to make sure that you know that you can be sure before we leave here today. And it's pretty simple. It's like childlike simple. But you can't get there by following regulations. It doesn't matter if you're in a suit and tie or wearing the right shoes or the right clothes or talking the right lingo. Bless you, brother. Oh, that'll get you to heaven because you said, bless you, brother. You're not my brother, by the way. I don't even know what that means. How about just use Dan? Reverend. Please never call me reverend. I'm the farthest thing from reverend that you can imagine. I'm just Dan. I'm just like you. Flawed. Imperfect. In need of a Savior. Who I'm so glad that the Savior sought me out. Drew me in. And handed me a free ticket. A gift. To get into heaven. So there's this gentleman and he took his son. It's his birthday. And he had 7 friends. And so he's got 8 kids. And he takes them to the carnival. And he starts lopping off tickets, you know, goes to the first ride. And you know, carnival rides aren't cheap, right? And so he goes to the first ride and, you know, gives his son a ticket and then 7 more tickets to his 7 friends. And on about the 5th ride, he hands his son a ticket. And then he gives out 7 more tickets and then there's 1 more hand sticking out. And he goes, who are you? And they go, and the little boy looks at the dad and he says, well, I'm your son's new best friend. And he said that if I asked his father for a ticket, that he'd give me one. One day you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, why should I be let into this perfect place? And you can either say I was perfect, but you're not. Or you can say, I trusted in your son. Who said, you'd let me in because of what he did. It's a gift. It's like the thief on the cross, the one of them that was wiser than the other one. He gets there and he stands before the Creator and the Savior of the world, and he's asked by the Father, "Why should I let you in?" And he says, "I don't know." The guy on the center cross said, "If I believe that you'd let me in," he said, "today I'll be with you in paradise." See, there's four benefits to experience freedom this Easter. I can live guilt-free, I can live worry-free, I can live with purpose, and I can live without having to know that I have to earn my way to heaven. And that's good news this Easter. To know that Jesus, your Creator, the Creator of the whole world, wants to be your Savior, wants to be your friend, wants to be your Father. Easter is about new life. In a profound sense, Christianity without the resurrection is not simply Christianity without its final chapter. It's not Christianity at all. Without the resurrection, without Jesus being raised from the dead, conquering death, canceling the debt that we owed, He took all of that debt on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to, because we couldn't pay for it. And He's offering you this morning a free gift of eternal life. It's a free ticket to heaven. It's better than Disney. It's real. And it's coming. I don't know when. I don't know when your day is. I'm sure that senior in high school had no idea that Thursday would be the last day of his life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But if you know Jesus, and if you believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, He will save you right where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus loves you. And we at this church, we want to love you. We don't want to have a condemning voice or a condemning tone at all. We're no better than anyone. Our stuff smells too. But Jesus paid for all of that stuff. And He offers us life. And I want you to know Christ personally like I do. So I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Everyone in the auditorium, some of you have prayed this. I want you all to pray it. If you're sitting here today and you're going, "Yeah, I don't want to enter from this life into whatever life there is without knowing Jesus. I want to for sure know that I'm going to go to heaven." And if that's your need right now, I want you to know that right now, on this day, in this very moment, from your heart to God's heart, Jesus will save you. You will never have to answer the question ever again. Because when you make this decision, when you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, your fate is sealed. Once and for all. You will become a child of God, and there's nothing, nothing that will separate you from His love. Just pray this prayer with me, will you? God, your heart to God's. I believe Jesus was who He claimed to be. He was your Son, and that He proved it by raising Himself from the dead. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I want to be a child of God. I want you to be my Father. I want to get to know you personally and experience freedom for the first time this Easter. And as much as I know how, you don't have to know everything about Him. As much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. I accept your free gift of salvation this morning, this Easter morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.